This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriet for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Try that at home, kids.
Look at this! X-Pac. Oh, baby!
Man, oh, man.
X-Pac trying to show he still got it there. Now here comes Road Dog.
Road Dog.
And Badass Billy Gunn gonna get him some! Man, oh, man! Not with a revival.
Pretend music from downtown.
Are you kidding me?
Check out the pedigree. Check out your DNA. Because you're going face first.
Oh!
Man, Hagger Center sees a a Pedigree King, thunderous.
Look at Balor.
Balor.
Oh!
Both feet right into the torso, driving the air. Right out of the...
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Fuck yeah!
On this sacred ground, I declare for all of those who have fallen, it is truly time. You rest in peace.
No.
He's got Lesnar!
Oh, you gotta be kidding
me! Running power slam through the table! Strowman driving Brock Lesnar through the table! Oh! Right, wait a
wow.
minute! Well, where the hell? Where is the buckle pad? Where is the buckle pad? There's the cover! Bender the champion!
Wow!
Was taking off the protective padding of the second turnbuckle, and he was, and nobody saw that happen.
Stunner! Stunner to Shane! The rattlesnake is struck!
Never change, Gold.
I was going to say, but the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Welcome, everybody, to Pulk Perfect Plex Radio, people. I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed, I spell my name with three X's, because I got to say it again, because it's true. Like the Philadelphia Eagles defense, I am hardcore. But that's a different show for a different day. But as always, people, first, the particulars. And I'm going to call in 347-637-3859. This is the longest running podcast around. We're almost on 2,000 episodes, bickets. And we'll be next to Raw 25 momentarily. Everybody is pissed. People got hard on. They got their thumbs up their arse. Everyone's upset about Raw 25. But as always, I've been called the hashtag WWE guy. I've been called, oh, there go Mike, the WWE apologist. I'm not none of those things. Well, that's not true. I'm actually lying. I'm all of those things. But I see things clearer. What's your name? That's all. I can see now the clear as rain is falling, right? Just pay attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth during this episode. Don't just listen to the propaganda that the internet wants to spill. Do not just pay attention to the propaganda that people from Miami want to spill. He knows he's coming up next. Or the propaganda from the first state that he might want to spew out as well. But it's okay, because they're my crew. They're going to have a point, and their points are going to be very valid. But I'm going to all over them, because yesterday's Talk Perfect Plex will break down why Raw 25 was not a horrible show. It wasn't horrible. Was it great? Oh, absolutely not. It was not great. It was good. I enjoyed it. I'm going to tell you when a show was really good. When my wife comes out of the office, who is working, and goes, OMG. My wife has not watched wrestling since the Attitude Adjustment era ended. Or the Ruthless Aggression, I'm sorry, era ended. And she came out and got a pop. My kids enjoyed it. And my kids didn't even know him besides the stuff that they watch on the network. I'm sorry, people. It was not as bad as you thought it was. And I'm going to break it down for you piece by damn piece as it gets invited to me. Also, Enzo Amore has been fired for rape accusal, but some news just came out through the wire. Hashtag Death to Dirt Sheets. So I saw this video they put out, and this guy said that he's Podomia's best friend or ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago, and he can prove she's lying. Well, I have an iPhone, and I can put anybody's name or text on anything. So how do we know that's true? But, you know, no one should be raped, and no is no, and you should stop when someone says no. But I seen the girl, and I'm sorry. It's still got to be a dummy if he rapes her. 347-637-3859. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter at Talk Perfect Plex. Follow the show, the Icons, Pros, and the Ayatollahs Rock and Roller 52, The Soul in Sports. And also follow yours truly, Mike Knox. You know my name. I told you how I spell it, like the Eagles defense. I am hardcore. Let me bring on my crew for this evening, all the way from Miami. And he hated the show. Welcome, Hugo.
What's up, Mike? Let's get to this, man. I really want to get to this. I want to hear your excuse why this show was good. I'm not going to put words in your mouth because, you know, you'll accuse me of putting words in your mouth, and you might be right. There are times where I do that, okay? I could sit back, and I know. But you said this show was good, so I want to know how in the hell you thought this show was good. And on top of that, I'm also going to shut little King Von Jr. also on the Twitter being the Mike Knox apologist. Because he obviously said that it sucked, but then he's obviously trying to get behind you. What's up with that? All right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah. What's going on, man? Listen, I'm excited to be here. We normally do our shows on Sundays, but we had the Eagles championship game on Sunday, so I was unavailable because I told my crew, I said, look, if they lose, I can't do a show. You know? so we won, and enough of that, but we'll get to it. Also, from the first state tuning in, my man, Dice Man. What's going on out there, man?
What's up? What's going on? What's going on, man? Listen, I'm ready to get into this myself. I can't. You're going to have to prove every point.
That's what I'm
because I got
to
some. I got some shit to say. I just got to say that.
Y'all want to rip my ass apart. Because I am, come on, y'all know me, but I'm going to break it down for you, and I'm going to tell you exactly why you didn't like it. Because here's the thing, you know what I always say, right? I say what? I say, I can understand why you feel that way. You know what I'm saying? And so when wrestling fans, I always get on wrestling fans, I get on them all the time, I'm always like, well, you know, fans need to do this and fans need to do that. You know, a lot of times I truly do understand your gripe, but I always think that your thought processes are puts you in that gripe. So I will explain that to you. Listen, the lines are on fire. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Okay? You want to talk, hit the number one button. That way we know you want to talk. Have a voice with the voice for the voiceless. If not, just sit back, relax, and listen to how I school you, because this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fans. Shout out to my social media icons, to the star, Mr. King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter, holding us down. Also, we're going to talk about Royal Rumble because it is this Sunday. So, first and foremost, guys, we got to start off with what we just talked about the most, what has been the most talked about thing roughly the last 20 hours? Okay, not 24, because it ended in
like 4 hours, really.
Yeah.
Really 4 hours.
Raw 25, right? So let's do it this way. I'm going to tell you why I thought it was an okay show, a good show, not a bad show, okay? And then I'm going to tell you why I thought some of the gripes were unwarranted. Okay, and then I'll let you guys go ahead, and then always blind tag if you have to, okay? That's how we do on this show. You want to talk, you got to get in with a blind tag. That's how we let you in. All right, here it is. First, anybody, because I remember talking to both of you gentlemen, okay, and other members of the crew who are not here right now, will join the program later, that I said, that's kind of weird, and we all thought it was kind of weird that they were going to broadcast from two different venues, right? So not knowing which venue was going to be which, I may not have brought a ticket. Especially for the ticket that costs roughly $200 a pop, right? So more than likely, you knew that the main event, the bigger part of the show was going to take place in the Barclays Center because it held the most people. And that the, if you will, so to speak, nostalgic moments that we live for in wrestling would come from the Manhattan Center, which is exactly how it played out. So, like, I don't feel bad for the people in the Manhattan Center, and here's why. You got to take home a commemorative chair, okay?
Really quick, Mike. Let me blindside you.
I can't even get into
the
story.
No, listen. Let me just blindside you really quick. I think the WWE could have made it a better show in two venues
if they didn't have to cross the East River, to be honest with you. I think if they would have been at
Madison Square Garden. You're right. If it was in Madison Square Garden and the different, they got the different arenas inside. You're right. I give you that. So strike one WWE, right? Or, you know, because they that was bad to have them that far apart. I give you that. You're right. Okay? But let me continue. Okay? So they got the chair. They got it. They got two decent matches. You got the after show matches that took place. You got a lot of the nostalgic moments in that building that you couldn't get somewhere else, including being in that building, getting the feel of that building. So the boos that carry on, you know what, ever since Royal Rumble was at 14, you know, 8 years later, when Roman Reigns won, because you guys, which, you know, all of us kind of wanted Daniel Bryan to win, didn't win, he got unceremoniously rained with boos, and it's been like that with this crowd ever since. When you don't like something, you
15.
Boo. And I get whatever it was, you know, I'm gonna act, that's y'all job. Whatever it was, I don't get that booing stuff. So you're booing for something. Okay, but you're booing for something that, come on, people, you know better than that, right? You booed the damn Rock and Rey Mysterio because you didn't get your guy. Is that your fault? Okay, like, come on. Now moving to the show itself. It opened up the best way I thought it could open up, and it even excited my wife. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon being the arrogant prick that he is, and enjoying the show, playing the role of Mr. McMahon, played it well, even towards his kids, talking about just a cheap plaque and a GoFundMe. That was exciting. Then Stone Cold comes out, exciting, nostalgic moment. Then we get the female match, which was okay, whatever. Even I said, why they have this eight tag match? But at the end, it made up for it. Why did it make up for it? Because we got to see Asuka, which earlier on the Twitter line, you expressed to me there, Hugo, that there was no moving forward in the storyline progressing, moving into the Royal Rumble. That moved into Royal Rumble right there, okay? So then from there, you had all the stuff that took place backstage at the APA was great. It was funny. It was entertaining. The stuff that took place in Kurt Angle's office was great. It was entertaining. People were complaining about how come they didn't show how come they didn't let the women or the people, the old talent, get involved with the matches? I remember before when they used to do that, you all got mad. Well, why are you doing that? You're killing the young talent. You're killing the young talent. Well, this time, they paraded them out there because it was their job. They were paying tribute. This is how I looked at it. They were paying tribute to those who came before them. So I was cool with that. Then the other complaint was The Undertaker. They didn't turn the lights out for him. Well, if you know your history about The Undertaker, could he put the gray gloves on and the purple, all that kind of stuff? Yeah, maybe he should have did that, okay? I'll give you that one. But as far as the lights going out in the Manhattan Center, when Undertaker came out, the lights never went out. Learn your history, and I'm not even a history buff, okay? But even I know in the Manhattan Center, when Undertaker came out, he didn't have that entrance. So you're complaining is what to me? Okay, anybody? No one's buying tagging in yet? Cool, I'll move on. Right, so then we had the stuff with Elias was good. The peep show was good with Jason Jordan. I just don't understand the complaints. The end with Braun Strowman, the match with The Miz and them was good. Okay, I will say this much. That crap that we saw with Woke and Matt Hardy and them, hey, I called it for weeks that I don't think that gimmick works in the WWE universe, and we're seeing it firsthand. The laughing and stuff. Then the people that complained about it, but the whole crowd was screaming delete makes no sense. You bitched on the internet, but on live TV you were cheering delete, delete, delete. So I'm confused. Did you enjoy it or you didn't enjoy it? Because I know people that went to the event and they enjoyed it. They didn't want to pick on the internet because somebody took a picture of JR and them snoozing off. Well, guess what? I fell asleep too. Why did I fall asleep? Because I fall asleep every single Monday night watching Raw. Unless I'm playing a video game. Not because it's not less exciting, because my body clock says I can't watch 3 hours of that crap. Okay? And so there it is, people. Was it a great show? Absolutely not. Was it what I expected? You're damn right it was, people. Your expectations were too high, and that led you to be disappointed, pissed, as a wrestling fan. They even paid homage to China, and the stuff with DX to me was great. It was amazing. I loved it because I'm a DX fan. I don't understand the complaints from people. I just don't. And you know what?
There goes that Triple H, Mark.
I'm going to lower my voice just for you all.
And if you're not down with that, then we've just got
guys, you
want to
go first?
Words for you.
Do you want to go first?
Suck it.
Sure.
Go first, man.
Now, if I may proceed, if you're done with your soliloquy in that
that
I love when you use that word. I can't spell it, but I love when you use it.
if you're done, I'd like to go ahead and tell you why you're absolutely wrong. First of all, you think that this show was great simply for the because you're old. You love the nostalgia. That's basically what it is.
Okay, I won't even blind tag you that early because he did it to me and it was wrong. Go ahead.
Listen, first of all, the APA segment, it was great for the start. After a while, you had like 20 people on there. Like, and the camera was moving so fast, I was like, I didn't even know it was MVP for a minute. I'm like, who's homeboy? I didn't know.
MVP was like, in there before everybody else got in there, by the way. He was the first one to fill out the whole entire court. And he even said balling. So, come on, that's not my fault. You didn't know your boy.
He said that after the fact. His cane moved, and then I saw the 305 there. Like, that's the only way I knew it was him. But did you not see
my man's wife? Come on.
Oh, yeah, Godfather, yeah. She was pretty
Godfather's
bad.
Godfather's wife.
She was pretty bad looking. Woo! Mark Henry approached her like she was really a hoe, too.
He had a stopper.
Well, listen, that APA thing, it was good. The first segment, it was good, and then they started piling more people on. It just got really tiring. Like, you just threw the Usos in there, and, like, you just threw Jeff Hardy sitting there. Like, I didn't want to see it. That's stupid.
Let me ask this question to you guys, okay? Because everybody, I'm here honestly because I think you guys can piggyback and tag in and out and have the same exact words. What was your expectations of the show? Because, and I'm asking this question because I've seen, three or four nostalgic shows, right? And every time that the older talent gets involved with the newer talent always gets buried for the older people, and people get frustrated. And so to me, I thought it was a different way to bring everyone back, be part of the show, but not truly take away from the show. It's like when you're watching WrestleMania and all of a sudden you parade out the Hall of Fame cast. That's how it was to me. I'll be honest with you. Did I expect more? I would be here lying live on air to tell you if I did, and I expected a lot more, okay? And so for that part is why I can't call it great. All right, I did expect to see APA. I wanted to see a clothesline from hell. You know what I'm saying? I get some of the reasons why people didn't like it. But I also was like, okay, I thought it did progress. And I thought that for them to have the anniversary date, you can't change dates, right? So if this is the 25th anniversary and it happened to coincide, coincide with the go home to the Royal Rumble, I really thought they did the best job they could do to put all that together. That's just me. If I'm wrong for that, then that's who I'm going to be. I don't think I'm wrong for it, but if people can't see that light at the end of the tunnel of why I felt that way, you know, then I'll say it to you a little louder.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
All right. The promos were cheesy at best. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon, that was probably the worst promo from Vince McMahon I've ever seen in my life. It was trash to me. From seeing Vince as a kid, even the horrible limo scene, that was better than the crap that he was speaking out there. Like, it was just trash. It was sloppy. You could tell they didn't know. Like, they lost that chemistry. You can tell. Like, it just didn't – to me, I didn't get excited.
I heard the glass break.
I got a little excited.
The fact that he said, I'm old now. I'm an ARP member, and I can't do this. And I thought all that was great. I thought Vince
that was
probably the highlight of the night.
That was actually one of the highlights of the night.
I did. Thank you. I thought that was the highlight of the night.
I did think that was funny. But at the same time, like, I just – what you just said before you made all your points, that show was strictly just to get a – No. Before you said, when you said your wife came out, got a pop, and your kids came out, exactly what that show was. It was a tease. It was a freaking tease.
It was worse
than a Mick Foley promo. Like, just to say that whatever town he in to get the cheap pop, and then he says absolutely nothing of relevancy. That is what that whole show was. It was like, oh, hey, there's that person. Oh, I remember him. Oh, look at her. But really? Really? Come on. And I'm sorry, the DX thing was trash to me.
Yeah.
I hated it. I didn't like it at all.
Whoa.
No, don't stop me. Don't stop me yet.
No,
I'm going to tell you why.
Hold on. Blind tag.
I'm going to tell you why.
No, first blind tag. I do not talk about your Kane like that, do I?
Listen, I will talk about Kane like that. I don't even want to see him in this match. I already know what's going to happen.
Kane should not be in this match, and we all know that. Okay, that's whatever. Move it on. Go ahead. Tell me why.
So
tell me why.
The DX thing, like it's every time we see DX, we always have to be reminded, like, that Shawn Michaels not the edgy Shawn Michaels anymore. He can't say the things that he used to say anymore. Hey, Shawn, we get it. You're on the straight and narrow path. I don't care.
Oh,
like, so now the promos. The promos just sound. The promos just sound super, super.
But for the first time, come on, it was a reversal. It was a reversal. Normally, you know, that was the first time where he's going to say it and he stopped from saying it, as opposed to saying I can't say it or leaving the screen. So I thought it was a good role reversal. Again, what do you expect? Again, that's the question I ask, and I'm not getting it from you, so I'm going to ask you, answer it for me, please.
What I expected from that show for it to be a go-home show, Royal Rumble, come on, mm-hmm. Where's the advancement? Where's when all the participants get in the ring and they just throw people out like they did? Like,
I'll
we got a
that.
Small taste of
I'll
it
give
from
you
the
that.
Women.
Give,
where's
give
that at? That's what I live for those
I'll
two.
Give you that.
That's what I live
I'll
for
give
for
you
those
that.
Two.
100%. 100%.
We saw the Balor Club out there for no freaking reason, only because he's cool with Triple H and they do the Too Sweet signing. No, that's stupid. He shouldn't even have been over there. He shouldn't even been over there. He
Agreed.
Should have been having a wrestling
Agreed.
Match. So all in
Agreed.
All, how much action did we really get? The
get
best
match
of that night was The Miz. The
yeah.
best match.
But
well,
we knew
night
that.
Was the Miz.
But we knew that going in. We knew that going in. That was gonna be the match of the night. You spoke about that, and we all knew he was getting the belt back, right? Because we all perceived.
Yeah.
Joanne Chapman on Facebook and Twitter said, "I thought it was a really good show, and people need to stop reading dirt sheets and listening to Meltzer and stop building their expectations so high." And you can quote me on that. I don't think on
it's
this
not,
one, Joanne, that
I
people are getting
it's,
this
I
from Dave Metzger. This came. A lot of people felt that way, and a lot of people
I don't
felt
think
the
it's
way
that.
They, like
when you hype,
too.
When you hype something up,
yeah.
25 years.
Absolutely.
That's a great.
Uh-huh.
That's a great monumental achievement. So the piece that they showed in the beginning, when it was showing like all throughout all the years, that got me
mm-hmm.
excited. Because I was hoping
right.
I could feel some of those memories and get some of those things back. Like, oh, I remember that. And pretty much, oh, I remember that just came from that video package, not from the people that I've seen throughout the show. When you think of 25 years, if somebody said, hey, we've got the 25-year anniversary of Motown, you think you about to
hey,
hear
I,
some
I,
shit.
I saw Motown 25. That's when Michael Jackson first did the moonwalk. That was exciting.
Yes,
okay.
Okay.
I was alive for that. Am I showing my age again? I'm showing my age. Okay. I saw Motown 25
usually
live.
In those monumental shows, we see something that we would not expect to see. That's when you bring out the big guns. But I felt like, you know, I've seen a TNA
part.
Show better than that.
Not at all.
I have.
That show on its best day would be anything TNA has ever put out well, at once, like everybody left wrestling-wise. So we're talking about over the last 3 years.
I tell you what,
right,
that wasn't its best show.
I won't disrespect the Asylum. I won't disrespect the Asylum. They had their shit going on back then, Impact. The wrestling did. Now, Hugo's going to jump in here. I see we got some other calls calling in as well. And, again, a lot of the complaints now, to just not rebuttal what you said to say, but I do agree with that part of the show for the Royal Rumble go home. I because Royal Rumble is my favorite pay per view, so I always look forward to everybody getting in the ring and getting that false narrative of who's actually going to win the match, right? Because somebody's standing at the end, it shouldn't be standing there. But
yeah,
I
and leaves room for guessing and betting,
right? But I thought that was good for the women's part, and we got that from them. So I understand the men's part, and I agree with the Finn Balor part. Maybe he shouldn't have been there, but he got there for that rub over there. But I'm still cool with that because, I'm residing on the fact of it was two shows they tried to put in one and 3 hours. And then the complaints about the commercials, people stop. And
that was one and a half shows. Let's be serious. That was one and a half shows. I forgot
they
even
control,
had the other arena there.
They don't even control the commercials. So that nonsense, they don't control that. They don't control. Only time they control
they
that is that they don't. No, they don't. USA determines when the commercials come, and the FCC. The only time they do that, only time they pay for it, is when they're paying to stay on longer at the go home show for WrestleMania that we've seen over the years, where it goes 15, 20 minutes longer. Okay, that's the only time they actually come out their pocket to pay for extra time, and that's extra time. And even during that extra time, they have commercials. I remember back in the day, you would hear JR saying, "Well, that was our last commercial break, right?" And then they'd go 10 minutes. So So that part, that's just nitpicking. Hug, I'm going to let you go.
Real quick, before you pass it. Undertaker, I don't want to see. After seeing Undertaker walk to the ring, I don't want to see him at WrestleMania. I don't care who.
I'm glad
he's facing Jesus Christ himself. I don't want to see him.
I'm glad you brought it up because I know what needs to stop is fans screaming one more match because that annoys the H-E double hockey stick out of me. You say what we're saying right now, we don't ever want to see him wrestle again, but yet you sit there and go, one more match. Like, really? Why do we need to see him wrestle one more match? I don't ever have to see The Undertaker and a squared circle again wrestling. It's that simple.
The last two was brutal. And real quick, the Jericho running in, bumping into Elias. I thought that was really dope. I thought that was a funny segment. So other than that, it gets 0 out of 5 Jeff Hardy immortal titles. You know what that immortal title was? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jeff Hardy is not going to be getting credit for that title. So Raw does not get credit for that damn show.
I feel another 0 out of 5 award coming.
All right.
Hugo.
All right, so let's break it down, and I try to make it as quick as possible. Obviously, the Austin McMahon thing, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was probably the highlight of the show. Obviously, it was a nostalgia thing. We all knew what was going to happen when Vince McMahon came out. Shane and Stephanie were already in the ring.
Right.
We knew Austin was going to come out. He was going to do that, and I'm okay with that. That's cool because realistically, we haven't seen Stone Cold in how long? I mean, would you say maybe since about more than a year ago? We haven't seen him in the WWE ring.
It's been a while.
So it was great to actually kick off the show. I really enjoyed that they actually did begin the show at the Manhattan Center with the whole old school Raw with JR and King, mm-hmm. when they're in
the
ringside and all that. I thought when I saw it, I was like, all right, it's going to be a good show. And then everything just started dwindling down. Mike, realistically, man, okay? It is, and Diceman already said it, and you already covered it. The Royal Rumble should be the main focal point coming into this. The Go Home Show should be focused around the Royal Rumble. I think that the women's section, and I love women's wrestling, but I think it went far too long. I think it took like 2 commercial breaks, if I'm not mistaken, between the match. And then, yes, it was great to see Asuka, do what she did at the end to obviously storyline, to advance the storyline within the women. I give you that. But then after that, I think it was roughly about an hour before we saw a match once again showing up on our TV set. Because then you had The Undertaker come out. You had every single pointless APA.
That's not true. It wasn't an hour.
Segment. I'm like, okay.
It was about 20 minutes.
At least it felt like an hour. Because realistically, I said it felt like an hour. It felt like an hour.
No, you said that after.
Okay,
go ahead.
But there was 5 matches in total and a 3-hour
mm-hmm.
show. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I'm not going to come on. What did you expect going into Raw 25 for you to? Here's my thing with not just you, and you're my brother, so I know what I'm saying to you. It's like, you know, bounces off you and sticks to glue, whatever that shit was called, right? Here's my problem, is that you want a go home show, which we are entitled to. But it fell in line with Raw 25, which you wanted as well. You couldn't have them both. So they tried to give them
shortages.
Both.
You could have shorter segments, though, Mike. That's the issue, that you could have shorter segments. You having a 3-hour show plus the overrun, and you also had a pre-show to the main show. So realistically, you had 4 hours to do a bunch of these skits, right? To put
you didn't have to watch the pre-show.
In order.
You didn't have to watch the pre-show. I watched the pre-show because it got me hyped.
Right, I'm saying, but you had that time also to progress. That's what I'm trying to say. You had that time. And, in fact, if you're trying to make it this one of your biggest shows of the whole year, because realistically the 25-year anniversary, I think it's obviously a big deal. I think we could agree it's a huge milestone. It's the longest episodic television show in history, and it's still going on. It's still probably going to happen 25, 50, 75 years from now. They're probably going to have – you know, countless amount of times.
I don't know what the hell the word episodic exactly means, though. That's just me.
But, Mike, if you have so much time management was against the WWE. For example, also the main event or the main event segment, did it feel rushed to you? The whole Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Kane thing felt very rushed, and that's because they did not do their time management correctly. That is my issue with the show. That you obviously, yes, we all like nostalgia. We all want to see Stone Cold come out and kick Vince McMahon's ass.
We want to see the APA. We want to see, the stupidity that we saw. We also wanted to see the Generation X pass it towards the ballot club, which, by the way, Dice, I'll be honest with you, I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was a really, really cool segment. I think that's probably one of the best segments that Raw actually had last night.
Oh, Micah chiming in saying it was the trash moment of the show.
Which one?
The DX.
Thank you.
I thought it was great.
It was too long.
It was the second best segment of the night. It was the second best segment of the night.
I would agree.
I go third because I did really truly did love the Oscar moment. And I thought that was a really good moment of the show.
Are we giving the Miz and Roman Reigns match at least a little bit of credit because we really haven't covered that? I thought that was a good.
I'll give the Miz credit.
See, there he go. But your Roman Reigns, you see. Stop it. When I hear people say Roman can't wrestle, to me, that's saying you're trolling, A. B, you're being a sheep, which I know you're not typically being. More importantly, you like trolling me because I'm an easy troller. And three, stop it. Just stop it.
But my
I've been on the part
with Miz coming out with Daniel Bryan was classic. Okay, that was great. When he does his turn around, and he points right at him, then I point to the crowd. I loved it. I'm sorry. I watched it twice because I watched it last night in the nostalgic moment. And then I told you guys I kind of dozed off, and I told my son, I said, look, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go to sleep. And then I went to the room and finished watching it because we had an internet outage. I don't pay for cable. I have, YouTube TV and such not. And so the internet was out. So I was watching it on my phone. And there's only but so much. I got a pretty big phone. There's only so much TV for 3 hours you can watch on your phone.
Right.
So I dozed off for that purpose. So when everything got
really
better.
Quick, man.
Yeah.
But Mike, I think that the issue with the WWE and why I have so much hate is because the time management wasn't there. I think they made some segments run way too long. I think that maybe storyline progression could have been better. I thought that we saw the same exact thing that we've seen the last 2 weeks with Braun Strowman. Yes, I know we're trying to make him the monster among men. He's supposed to be the big guy, the favorite going into the match, but it just felt really, really rushed. The Oscar thing was great, like I specified. I thought the Roman Reigns and mismatch had a good, decent amount of TV time. So I thought that was fine because, realistically, the marquee match in Raw 25 was that Intercontinental title match. So that's okay if they want to let that go a little bit further than what it was. But all those backstage segments, the whole Rhino thing, at the end of the thing, oh, if you want, if you want to go ahead and clear this deck, go out to the ring just for the Dudley boys to come out and get a cheap pop. I'll be honest with you, man, it just dragged on too much with these old-timers. I watched it again today. I tried to give it a shot. And to be honest with you, I just was not satisfied. I am going to go, however, Dice still
everything
gave
you said
viewer.
Made me like
I
it.
Watched it again. I watched it again because I thoroughly enjoyed the Stone Cold segment. I thoroughly enjoyed the Roman Reigns and Miz match. I liked the DX thing, even though one thing I didn't like about that is putting the commercial break on Scott Hall. I know the WWE has no control over that, but it kind of sucked when Scott Hall came out and there was a big pop one in the hand center, and all of a sudden you go into commercial break. I did not like that. And then the fact that it was really rushed at the end with what is going to be your main event with the triple threat match, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 1 out of 5. Not a 0 out of 5, but I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5.
That's just
I'm
bad. You must as well give it a damn.
David
you must as well give it a 0.
WCW you... World Heavyweight title.
You ready to rumble?
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Oh, so you're going to play my own back against me, right? I got you. 347-637-3859. Shout out to my man Mo_Eaton out there. Hashtag Belt Kings in the house. Checking out the show right now. Big things coming, guys, for the upcoming season. Around the Blocks with Mike Knox will be making its return. Would have made its return yesterday, but my damn internet was not working. Had it set up with everything to go live after Raw 25 wasn't there. And real fast, Toph maybe be calling in 706. He asked his number. I see other guys that he hit the one, but everybody else wants to sit there and listen. It's cool. It's understandable. Yeah, everybody don't have the voice for radio. And some things you said as well, Hugo, just because I got to do it. Because King Von Jr. 720 is asking for it. I got to beat you down. One out of five, David Arquette. Take that one, right? Like the and what's that sloth on the commercial, right? Turn it sideways. Okay. And stick it up your candy Miamian ass. Okay. And here is why. Again, you're asking. I just think that people ask for too much. I do. And maybe you have the right to ask for much. You pay your money. You sit there with your time. It's 3 hours. You deserve to have better. I understand all of that. Don't see. You know, I got what I expected. I didn't see nothing at all wrong with the APA segment. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw y'all going crazy in the chat, right? And I got text messages from people sending me the sound bites from Miami, you know, from the Manhattan Center. I'm just like, what the hell is going on, right? So I had to wake up and watch it. Oh, internet's not going? Okay, back. Got to watch it. So I go in there, I go watch it, and I go, I actually loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, I'm not going to say it was great. No, but I loved it because, like Dice said, I'm old. And I got everything. I liked the backstage segment. I liked the Dudley boys coming out during the table. The only thing about that thing I didn't understand was stupid. And my son pointed out, I didn't even pay attention to him. My son said, why is Rhino helping him? You know what I mean? Ain't he supposed to be with Slater? That didn't make any sense. Okay? But I didn't care. I don't see why you guys care so much about things that mean nothing, because it was there, it was put there for you, me, hey, you, to give you the feeling of 25 years. These are the people that laid the foundation for us to be here, and we're bringing. And I got people saying, "Oh, how come they didn't bring Lita back? How come this?" Well, people's schedules. For weeks, you knew The Rock wasn't going to be there. So when people tweet to me or say to me, The Rock wasn't there, dumbass, what advertisement did you see them say The Rock? Who the hell were they advertising? DX and Stone Cold and others. If The Rock was going to be there, you bet your bottom dollar they'd have said The Rock. So what? And then they tweet out in the day to tell you, sorry, I can't be there. Got other things to do. Bret Hart did it. The Rock did it. Lita did it. Come on, people. This is the social media era. Pay attention before you start complaining like a piece of monkey dung outside of a monkey dung that licks the other monkey's dung because it's gay. Pause. 347-637-3859. I'm sorry. 706, who's this?
Hey, what's up, Knox? It's Toph.
You, I'm on one, Toph. What's going on? Okay, real fast before you go. I'm going to give it, because I gave it 3 out of 5 last night. Because y'all pissed me off and y'all making me enjoy it even more, I'm going to give it a 3.5. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
You are the biggest WWE apologist known to man. You are the biggest Triple H apologist known to man.
I can't hear you. What? What? Yeah, a 3.5
real quick.
Five.
There's a great 3.5 out of 5
U.S. title run. Go ahead.
There's a great Shane Helms picture with him holding the WWE Cruiserweight belt.
He's telling
the
WWE to give me a job.
Great.
He said, "Hey, I got somebody for you. Tough. European of Raw 25. Go home. Royal Rumble show, man."
Yeah. Not sure where to start because most of the people covered it already. You already know this because we were talking early in January. I wasn't watching WWE. I'm just kind of like all New Japan now. But what I told myself earlier was I said, hey, you know what, man? I'll go ahead and I'll start watching WWE again at Raw 25 because I figured that'll be the go-home show to Rumble. So I wanted to start watching WWE full-time there. So last night was my first WWE show in about 2 months. And I actually watched with my brother, who I don't have the best relationship with, but we do both like wrestling. And we watched it, and, like, not making this up, he left the room, like, after the first segment with Austin and Vince. I thought the segment was cool. He left the room. No. Here's what he said. He left the room. And I said, hey, where are you going? Like, it's just the first segment. And he said that the first segment alone was going to be the peak of the show. He said he knew that. He said nothing was going to top the first segment. And he said that in the first segment, Steve Austin basically eclipsed the entire roster without saying a single word. And he said he didn't need to see anything else. So I was like, okay, all right. So he left. So I sat there, and I got two friends that were in the Manhattan Center, and I can confirm that they basically didn't get anything. They basically got about maybe 20, 22 minutes, 24 minutes tops of stuff.
Right.
Like one cruiserweight dark match.
I know about six people that were there that completely go against them. They got four matches there.
Yeah.
Two were
one of them air. Went like
were,
one of them went about air. 1 minute though.
It went about 4 or 5 minutes. That's a
yeah, very right. Yeah.
Dude, it went 2 minutes and it was a no contest. Okay. But
yeah, the matches didn't go long.
But the Manhattan Center wasn't built from if you look at the show and you go back and look at it now, right? It wasn't there to be the drop. It was there to be the nostalgic moment. That's why they had the Ico Pro. They went home with the chairs. They got to see the Undertaker, the DXs, the Matt Hardy, which
that was lame, dude.
Live up to the
they didn't do anything. That wasn't worth the money.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But when you if I sit here and tell you, right, that I'm going to give you the seats, the venue, JR, King, Taker, DX, Balor Club, Miz, Celebration, and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, which people thought, give or take, loved it going in, you wouldn't think it was a bad deal. So on paper, and when you speak about it, it wasn't bad. They're complaining because it wasn't what they wanted, but it wasn't bad.
It wasn't a good live. I don't think it was good for the people live, as weird as it sounds, because you've always said that wrestling is for the folks live. And I feel like watching it on TV, you actually had the better deal because you saw both. But if you were just there in that Manhattan Center, as weird as it sounds, it doesn't sound like it was a good experience live. Probably the main issue that here's the main problem, because you just mentioned it a few minutes ago. Here's the problem, all right? This was the go-home show to the Royal Rumble. And the problem is, when the show was over, I wasn't even thinking about the Royal Rumble. They have spent the last 2 weeks building up the Mixed Match Challenge and Raw 25. They built up Raw 25 so much that they basically were building this up like it was a mini pay-per-view within itself. And the only thing I have to compare this show to is Raw 1000.
You said you didn't watch it for 2 months.
I saw the advertisements, dude. I didn't have to watch the show. I saw the advertisements on Facebook and YouTube.
It was not built that way. You're 100% wrong. It was
built that way on the commercials, dude.
They didn't like the show. The two guys looked at the two other parts. Dice, you didn't like the show. Was it built like it was going to be another pay-per-view? Was it built like the nostalgia act you got? Like or
no,
it was how was it built?
It was a straight nostalgia. Like, the matches didn't really matter to me. Nothing built up except for the Lesnar and Kane and Strowman.
Right.
Anything
right.
else
nothing
really
mattered. That's
up.
The problem.
But that's how it was advertised.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about the part you. I'm just talking about the part you're talking about. Talk. That's all. Nothing else. You know.
Okay.
But that part of you saying how it was built.
See,
that's all. Nothing else. Against,
when they did
know,
when
go,
they
go
did
ahead.
The last Raw like this, like the last Raw they did like this, you know, because I'm sure they've done. Right, I enjoyed Raw 1000, and here's why I enjoyed Raw 1000. Raw 1000 had the usual nostalgia stuff, but they built on the stories that existed at that time. They had the Bryan and AJ Lee marriage, and they used Slick as a cameo, which made sense because that was his gimmick. You had Heath Slater get destroyed by Lita, and the story they were telling at the time was each week he was being destroyed by a different legend, and then Lita, you know, had the APA. CM Punk turned heel, and he attacked The Rock. So the Raw 1000 show, it had nostalgia, but it still built the stories that were going on at the time. Last night's show, nothing happened. Outside of Roman versus Miz, you know, like Roman lost the Intercontinental title, and outside of the Lesnar thing, and here's the thing, even the Lesnar stuff at the end was whack because we've seen it already. Strowman put Lesnar to one table? Okay. We saw that already. We've seen him do that to several people. Like, what else you got? Nothing mattered. It was like 3 hours of nothing.
You want him to put him in an ambulance and toss him over, right? That's been done too, right? That's
right,
been done.
Yeah. They,
again,
they couldn't
I'm,
do anything.
Again, what can again? You said nothing was done but Miz and them, right? No, that's not true.
Right.
Women's Battle Royal was talked about heavily and was displayed between the eight women in the ring. Which, by the way, we don't give Alicia Fox enough credit. That girl can go. Okay, I thought she was quite real good in that match.
Telling y'all,
okay.
man.
Yo,
see,
Alicia
and another
Fox
problem
Knox
was the legends that they called in, right? the legends they called in, right? It's like if you call the legends in, right? Like in previous shows, we've seen WWE strategically and perfectly use the legends for something. Like the Elias Jericho thing. That was cool that they're building Elias slowly. Yeah, you know, they gave Elias the rub. That's cool. And it's just a matter of time before The Rock gives him the rock bottom at WrestleMania, so expect it. But, like, the end, right? Like, at the very end, when Lesnar, Kane, and Strowman came out, and they surrounded the ring with, like, everybody, they didn't do anything. So, like, why were they there? What was the point?
Why when it went off the air, it did. I agree with what you're saying, but when it went off the air, it did. Is it goes
right.
to the point about you're supposed to do the crowd something that's there. They did do the Royal Rumble thing. We didn't see it on TV, so our points are still
right.
valid with that part not being shown. I give you still give you that dice as well.
I didn't think it was a bad show, though, so I just want to make it clear. Right, I think what they should have did was they sort of booked themselves in a corner. What they should have did was they should have built up to the Royal Rumble first, and then after Royal Rumble was over, then do the Raw 25 stuff. But they want it to be chronologically accurate, and they wanted to pay tribute to Raw 25 on the anniversary of the first show, which I can understand. But I guess the main problem is when Raw 1000 was over, I left that show with a nostalgia high, but I was also looking forward to the current product that they had at the time. When Raw 25 was over, I did not even know the Royal Rumble was like this Sunday. They promoted the Women's Rumble like at the very beginning, like you said. I knew about that, but the actual like Men's Rumble or the show itself is a complete afterthought. And I don't think that was their intent, but that was just how it came out.
I hear your gripe, and again, same with the crew, 347-637-3859. It's only but so much I can continue to be combative towards with that. I just looked at it as I got the nostalgic moment. I'm nothing against you guys. Don't take it personal. An intelligent wrestling fan enough to know what Sunday I get, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get the finish that was shown off air but not on TV about the Royal Rumble stuff. Other than that, I thought the show did progress towards Royal Rumble on Sunday. I did. I'm going to go back and re-emphasize the situation with the women. I thought to see Asuka do that and the way, for what it's worth, he gets no credit. That commentary crew really hyped that segment right there. I thought that was good. I thought, again, what you said with Elias is good, but talking about moving forward, we got The Miz and them, that moved forward towards the Royal Rumble with that situation. We got the Jason Jordan them segment with Seth Rollins and The Bar. That moved towards Royal Rumble. We got those segments. We got the end. I agree with you. What else can they do? Probably much nothing because Kane's the odd man out in this. Braun Strowman will probably win the world title by pinning Kane, and it makes sense because they have the Elimination Chamber coming. So we pretty much know that the winner of the Royal Rumble is going to come from the SmackDown side of things. I didn't put a lot of stock into yesterday other than what I got. And I guess that's why I liked it so much is because I only expected nostalgic moments from it. And being, as Huggo called me, such a Triple H mark and Triple H apologist, and Shawn Michaels, my favorite wrestler of all time. So from that, I got what I wanted. You know what I mean? For me, just to put this out there in perspective, I have never been a fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Here is why before you cuss me out. He beat all my guys. I was a Bret Hart guy, beat him. I was a Shawn Michaels guy, beat him. I was a Triple H guy, beat him. I was a Rock guy, beat him. I respect the hell out of Rattlesnake. When he came out, I put my middle fingers up at that, babe. I never had a 316 shirt. She said, yeah, I brought it. I need another one. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to love someone enough or have them be my favorite enough to like a segment. It was great to see him stun them and start talking shit to him. I saw him drop a beer and say, yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen him not catch a beer when he didn't have no other beer in his hand. He's getting old. But the show was good to me. I still give it 3.5 out of 5. Gave it a half a point nudge up because Huggo David Arquette joke. 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5. Huggo, you should be a
You're
genius,
lucky I didn't give it a 0. Because I gave it a 0 first.
I'm going to give it a 0 than that David Arquette belt. Okay? 3, 4, 7, 6.
Because David Arquette is irrelevant.
3859. Hold on 1 second, Tolf, as we get into the Raw. We got SmackDown in an hour, right? And SmackDown now.
I'm actually looking forward
go
to
go home
by the way.
Show. Right. You got to look forward to it because you ain't got nothing to look forward to. I do because at 9 o'clock, I know what I'm going to be watching. Hey, Tolf, are you going to be watching Black Lightning? Because I am.
Oh, yeah, man. That was a great. Man, that was a great premiere last week. I was watching it, and I was like, is this a CW show? Because it felt like it was, like, on FX or Netflix.
There y'all go. It reminded me of the first one, the Arrow. Because he pulled that man in front of him, and that dude was getting shot up. I said, ooh, that's some Arrow-type shit right there. But
right,
so
I know. It
was
a great
SmackDown
show.
And Arrow, because Flash is back. So Tuesdays, you know, I watch them both, right? But I got the Pro Bowl this week for Fox Sports coming up. So I got a lot of big things going on. Kenny Anderson's My Cigar Club event coming up Thursday night as well. For those in the Orlando City area, make sure you come out and take some pictures with the NFL pros, NBA All-Stars as well. But moving on into the Royal Rumble, guys, we can move on. I don't know who's doing a lot of fumbling. Is that you, Dice? You playing the game?
That's me. Before we go ahead, can we just acknowledge how good Tori Wilson and Kelly was looking last night, though?
Where is Wilson? Wild? Wild
day. Listen,
ooh. Kelly, I've always had a thing for Kelly. I've always had a thing for Kelly. But when Tori Wilson came out there and they said she was a fitness model, I lost it. I said, whoa, it looks like she's a fitness model.
Yeah, I checked
model.
Twitter. Yeah, I checked Twitter. I don't know where she got all that ass from.
Did you see, something different on Terry? It looks like I think she did her jaw. Because it looked a little bit lifted. And I'm like, who is that in the beginning when I first saw it? And then I'm like, oh, crap, it's Tori. But she looks really good. She looks, I think she looks better than anyone else in that roster right now.
She really does.
Her and Kelly look really good.
Well, Kelly ain't going to never stop looking good. Look at her. And she got that money coming
from
that AHL now as well. You know what I'm saying? She on
like
WAGS. She got to watch WAGS. My wife watches WAGS. So I'm not afraid to say I watch it. Well, I don't really watch it, but I peep every once in a while because I know Kelly's on there. So all you think you I would watch WAGS Atlanta. Brandy's on there. Not my Brandy the singer. You know, Cody Rhodes' wife. Yeah, what other reason would you watch it? You know what I mean? So what is Vaughn saying in the chat? He said, I'll follow Tori Wilson on Instagram. She got her jaw lifted. Oh, okay. There you go. There's your answer. She got her jaw lifted. 347-637.
You know what that means.
3859. What does that mean? Does that mean that Alex Rodriguez was hitting him out the ballpark? Was he knocking her off for a minute? I mean, he was.
Oh,
right?
My God. Man, listen, he got all the ass on J-Lo now. All right, yeah, let's go.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought the DX one was great. I'm sorry. When they brought out Xbox. Even my wife, I'm sorry. When your girl pops for stuff, it was good, man. It was good. It was good. My wife, it was a nostalgic moment. I could have seen Sable, but I'm not complaining. And the fact they mentioned, when he mentioned China and Rick Rude, that pays respect to me. That made me say right there, China will be introduced into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I'm calling it right now. When I heard that,
I thought it was dope
they
mentioned Rick Rude because a lot of people don't remember Rick Rude from that aspect of DX.
No. Not because all they know is that he left to go to WCW. But as soon as DX started, within what the first 6 months, he was going to WCW. You know what I mean? And it was just
and he aired it the same night.
So that's mostly what people know. But Royal Rumble is this Sunday. We will not have the cruiserweight match. God knows what they're going to do with that crap. Now that
Daniel Bryan's supposed
to
address
fired.
It, I just seen on Twitter.
Yeah, he's doing something tonight.
Okay.
So are they going to move 205 Live to SmackDown? I hope
right.
not. Please
that,
don't.
Right. Good Lord knows. Well, I tell you one thing. This gets my boy Jimmy Uso out of trouble or Jay Uso out of trouble, right? For the DUI, we got a racist in the building, right? I bet he was like, whew, all the heat off my ass. Okay. So I bet he was happy about that. They might actually get a WrestleMania match on WrestleMania soil this time, you know, because they still
did
have
you
yet
read,
to have a match on WrestleMania.
Did you
no,
guys
I don't
see,
read too much.
Did you guys see the T-shirt that Enzo wore last night on Raw? I think it's making a Twitter, like a whole Twitter thing right now, saying yesterday's the greatest day of my life. Right, no, but he was wearing it backstage, and it said, today's the greatest day of my life, and the back tomorrow will be better, or something like that. And
oh, I did
that
see that.
Fired.
No, listen, I say this much, though. I don't think he got fired because of the allegations. Was it you earlier that said the stuff that's going on, DJ Dice Man, you said that because of the women's bottle rule and everything, like, it's kind of a bad look.
They needed to wash their hands quickly as possible with this situation, because you figure, well, Enzo's out here raping women and y'all sitting here promoting women. So it's just a bad look, because already when I got that notification, I just had to Google it. By the time I Googled it, when I first got the notification, already 11 outlets had already hit it up. And then when he got fired, it was like 25 of them. So imagine that being hung over the Royal Rumble. It takes away from the spectacle of this being the first women's Royal Rumble. So, I mean, once he gets acquitted of it, then I think they'll give him a shot. But maybe.
I don't know.
But he has to be cleared of everything.
I don't know about that. If you notice that was the first time they didn't say, we wish you well in your future endeavors. I thought that stood out to me when I saw, because when Hugo broke it to me first, and I said, huh? Then he just breaking and he shared it with me. And I noticed in the picture he sent from his phone's app, I said, wow, it didn't say, you know, we wish you well in your future endeavors. So I thought that was insecure. But it also crossed the line to say, well, did they want him out the company anyway? And they saw this as the out? And also the second question, I don't see him going somewhere else to wrestle. I don't see him going somewhere like. Yeah, I just ain't like him going to New Japan or Ring of Honor, because he's not very well liked in the locker room amongst his peers, and people have it out that he's not a good worker as well. So I bring back Toph in for this part. Toph being the guy who's the indie guy who knows more about indie than I could ever know, or about those other organizations. I don't mean to call them indies, but you know. Can you see him, Toph, going to a New Japan or a Ring of Honor with the baggage that he's been carrying? Literally and figuratively?
The only way I could see him doing that is if he was a mouthpiece for somebody. He's good at that. I don't know if you guys know Rocky Romero. Y'all know Rocky Romero in New Japan? I mean, he's a good mouthpiece. Rocky's like, I mean, he's no Enzo, but he's the closest thing to an Enzo. I could see him going to a New Japan because New Japan is serious about getting a U.S. expansion. But at the same time, mm-hmm. New Japan has a zero-tolerance policy for, you know, all the bad stuff that you would expect an American promotion to also have a zero-tolerance policy for. You can find several U-Shoot interviews on YouTube from just different people, some that work for WWE now, some that no longer work for WWE, and all of them have pretty much said that the character you see Enzo portray on WWE television
is really who he is.
The dude that, what was that other guy's name? I can't think of his name. The dude from the Vault Villains. Not the one with Rusev, the other one. The one that got released.
Right.
Simon Gotch.
Yeah, Simon Gotch said that Enzo would lie to people and say that Dusty was his mentor, which I'm sure he was, but then he would say that that Enzo was not aware of, like, all the matches that Dusty had. And he said that, like, Enzo had, like, a lot of opportunities to basically – when he first got in, he implied that Enzo was given opportunities to get better, to improve, and he just didn't take it. And basically he made it seem as if, like, Enzo's mouth is what really kept him his job, which –
Yeah,
and,
well,
that's
–
really it seemed that way. It seemed that way.
Really quick,
ahead,
though.
Dice.
I just saw something, and I want to read you guys. It's an article about the Enzo Amore firing, and there was an update. It says that Amore was aware of the investigation but failed to inform anyone in the WWE about it. That means the company first learned about the alleged incident yesterday when word began to spread. Multiple sources confirm Enzo is not telling the WWE about the investigation was a big factor in their decision to fire the Cruiserweight champion.
Oh, wow.
Especially since he was apparently on the
last
part
again.
Behavior. Which one?
Say the last part again. I'm sorry. The part you – I'm sorry. I was getting ready for the next segment.
Multiple,
say the last part, the part you read about.
Multiple
sources did he – uh-huh.
Multiple sources confirm Enzo not telling the WWE about the investigation was a big factor in the decision to fire the Cruiserweight champion, especially since it was on thin ice due to past behavior. This would seem to indicate that Enzo's firing was due to a violation of morals clause in his WWE contract and not because of their zero-tolerance policy regarding sexual assault. And finally, it concludes with, in regards to the moral clause, the company's corporate website states WWE's ability to define, suspend, or terminate a WWE talent will not be, however, limited or compromised in any matter in the event incontrovertible evidence of such illegal misconduct is presented to the WWE. Section 9.13 of the WWE booking contract, commonly known as the Morals Clause, provides WWE with broad discretion and authority to act under such circumstances. So it's basically past behavior. Got him in hot water.
When I went back and watched the what's the show with Corey Graves, guys? I'm sorry, I know I'm on once. I'm doing 50,000 things. Speak It Out Loud, or whether Speak To It, or whatever. Was the Corey Graves show that he had? I went and watched. Mm-hmm. It came out earlier 2 weeks ago, and he made that comment, and they showed the real video of Big Cass. And Big Cass said, I remember him sending out the tweet, and it's one thing you're playing kayfabe and standing, you know, and it's another thing when you're being serious. And he didn't take kindly to him saying, sending that tweet out about, oh, you can't finish the match, you're not a professional. He said, all the times I took this guy, I carried this guy over my shoulder, up and down the stairs. And for him to act this way, you know, like this guy really lived, he really thought he was Ric Flair. Remember, you go back and listen to Ric Flair's wife talk about how he couldn't come home and separate the character. Right? That was Enzo. He couldn't separate the character that he was playing from real life. And he got his ass in trouble. And, you know, to not see a "we wish you well in your future endeavors," that's crazy because we see that from everybody.
Hey Knox, I know you're into this kind of stuff, Knox. I just came from Hot Topic earlier today, and this was really awkward for me because when this happened, I only found out what happened after the fact. I was going to Hot Topic to get some wrestling T-shirts for this event I'm going to next month. And when I got there, I guess there must be some damage control. So to any listeners out there, if you can, go to your local Hot Topic if you have one in your area, see what's going on. But in my area down here in the ATL, they were pulling all the Enzo shirts. So they were pulling them. They were pulling them. So when I went to the Hot Topic, I actually got an Enzo shirt. I got one because it was on my list of shirts to get for the event I was getting ready to go to next month. And then when I got the shirt, everybody in there was giving me this look, like I'm some kind of
piece
of right. So then I went in my car and I checked my cell phone, and I was like, "Oh, okay." So I don't know
you
if it's just down
you
here.
You're supposed to burn it and put it on video. You know when Vice, you want to burn it and
right now.
How did you do this to me?
Right now, it's just in my closet. It's just hanging there. I don't know what to do with it. So, I mean,
take it back to the damn store. First of all, you should be shot in the back of the throat for even buying an Enzo shirt. By the way, okay. I'm sorry. That guy is great on the microphone, and I sort of was a pseudo fan of his. But if I'm going to Hot Pockets, I'm going to buy two shirts and two shirts only. Give me my Young Bucks and give me my Cody Rhodes. Guys, betting odds for the Royal Rumble. Now, we've never done this. I think maybe once or twice ago in the years we've been doing Perfect Flex Talk Radio, but it's been out there. It's nuts right now. Who wins? I'm going straight from the top to the bottom, top to the top, because we're here. Royal Rumble 2018 Universal Triple Threat Match. The odds have it. Brock Lesnar, 4-1, 13-1, Braun Strowman, and of course, Kane, 10-1 odds. Starting with you, Mr. Dice Man. And when I get off, I'm going to whoop your ass in some 2K. No, I'm not up. I don't play you in 2K no more. Sorry. I'm going to beat your ass in some Madden. who you got winning this Universal Championship match, man?
I want to say Braun. I want to say Braun, but logically, I'm still thinking that Brock is going to keep it. I still think Brock's going to keep it, and, you know, for some reason, we're still going to get this Roman and Brock thing, but what do they do with Strowman? So I think that Strowman may win it, but logically, I'm definitely leaning more towards Brock.
Who you got in this one, Toss?
I think whoever's winning, we can all agree that Kane's taking the pin. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that hurts my heart. Absolutely.
I'm in the same boat as Dice Man. I want to say Braun, but
Let me do what I do best, and that type shit up, right? Who can somebody name the last WWE superstar that the company spent money on, the way they have on Braun Strowman? Stone Cold Steve Austin. They have
John Cena too.
Not really. What have they spent money on John Cena to even come compared to what they spent with the destruction that they've let this man Braun Strowman do just in the last calendar year.
I'm talking about
the money that's spent, not publicity, not shirts. I'm talking about remember Austin limos, semi trucks and props.
Right.
Yeah. They're building Braun Strowman so damn big. It got to be big and got to be getting built for something. And I tell you one thing. I don't think that Vince cares about a crowd too much, right? From all the professionals, pros that I've been listening to talk about this Royal Rumble. But you can't have a bunch of boos. Meaning, your women's Royal Rumble match, your male's Royal Rumble match, and this triple threat match. Somebody the crowd fucking wants better win. Excuse my F-bomb, mama. Right? Somebody the crowd wants has to win. Right? They're in Philadelphia for 48 hours for Royal Rumble and for Monday Night Raw. Right? If you don't want to have people get up, turn their backs on the ring, you better have somebody you won't win this match. It doesn't hurt Brock Lesnar. You know why? Because there's the Elimination Chamber coming right before WrestleMania where he can get his title back or get into the title pitch and then he can have a triple threat match. I don't think it's going to be a one-on-one between Roman and Brock. I don't. I think Braun gets the belt. What y'all talk about the gateway champion. I think Braun can be a gateway champion because for the first time, in my opinion, in the history of wrestling, it's been reversed on WWE soil. Before, it was always the good guy chasing the belt. Lately, it's been the heels chasing the titles. So, with that being said, I'm going Braun Strowman, and I would bet that Braun Strowman wins the title and pins Kane. How you got this one going there, Hugo?
What are the odds again?
Yeah, they're crazy. I'll give it to you one more second. I'm sorry. It's Brock Lesnar's 4-1. I mean, I'm sorry, 4-11. Braun's 13-8, and Kane's 10-1 odds.
Okay, I heard you say 4-1, 13-1 for Brock
first,
and 10-1 for Kane.
Yeah, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I thought you said what?
Yeah, I was like, because if that would have been the odds, honestly, if that would have been the odds, I would have stuck a tenner on Braun Strowman. Yeah, man, obviously Kane's taking the pin. I think Lesnar's going to win because, you know, it still keeps Braun Strowman strong. As much as I want to see Braun Strowman win, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, it's going to be Brock Lesnar.
All right, Brock Lesnar. Now, we're going to go to the tag team titles. Anybody think the Usos lose the tag team titles this weekend?
With this hot fire? Probably. I think it's a slim chance.
You think? Oh, cool.
I think just because of that hot water, who was it, Jay? That Jay's got
it?
I think that might.
Not Naomi's cousin.
But the
it's
Enzo
only
thing.
It's a DUI, though. It's only a DUI.
But it's,
right, but here's the
I
thing.
Mean,
if they let my boy five-time All-American Jack Swagger, baby, keep his belt, and he got pulled over for marijuana. The problem is that this isn't Jay's first offense. That's the problem. This is Jay needs, and it probably wouldn't have happened. Remember, his brother and Naomi were on their anniversary because normally they drive together. So everything I'm hearing, you know, I got to be real, despite me being, you know, semi-pseudo close to the family, he might need to get some help. So to take a little bit credit to what Dice Man is saying, you know, this is his second DUI. I still don't think nothing happens, but anything could happen because it's his second one. So just to throw that out there a little bit. So you think they can lose to the gold standard? I guess that's not fair to still call him that, right? Sheldon Benjamin. And what we call them, the new American Alphas, the new AP American Alphas. So you got American Alpha winning the belt, right, Dice?
Yes. I don't want them to,
okay.
But logically that's what I'm thinking, just because of that situation. But the Enzo thing might have covered it up. Nobody gives a damn, so.
That's what I told you. They said, whoa, bro, we're going to keep our titles. Okay, anyone else think? I don't think they lose the titles. You think they lose the titles, Bucko?
No. I don't think so. I think they're way too hot right now. I don't think they're going to take it away from them. I still take the Usos.
Let's go to my future of the wrestling business. Jason Jordan, them defending their tag team titles, 2/3 of the new Shield. Him and Seth Rollins bringing back the curb stomp, taking on the Bar. I love them. Dice Man can't stand their fusion. Says two grown-ass men shouldn't fuse together like Dragon Ball Z character. He hates it every time it comes on. We watch a lot of wrestling together. I'd be like, yes. He'd be like, no, that's stupid. But I think that Jason Jordan and him keeps the titles on at the Royal Rumble this weekend. Talk. Who you got, the Bar or two-thirds of the new Shield?
Do you really call them two-thirds of the new Shield? That's hilarious.
No, I literally just said that just now. I don't even know where it came from.
Okay. They seem to have a little bit. Well, there is a little bit. There's more credibility in the SmackDown titles. The Raw titles seem to flip flop more often. Not that much, but it's noticeable. So I'll go ahead and predict the Bar to win, and I'll guess that there'll be some type of miscommunication between JJ and Rollins or something. So
I said what I thought already. Dice Man, who wins the title, the Bar or the new two-thirds of the Shield?
I agree. I think the Bar wins just off of Rollins and Jason Jordan miscommunication, some mistake, because, you know, Rollins made a mistake this week, so who's going to do it on Sunday? But I think this is – however, I don't want to see Seth Rollins versus Jason Jordan. I think that's some kind of match that's going to be
that.
In the future.
I think we're getting that. Yeah, I think that's WrestleMania, bro.
If I am Seth Rollins, it's a spit in my fucking face.
That's a pre-show. You know that's a
wow.
pre-show match.
That's exactly
wow.
what it is. That's exactly
the
what it is.
That's going to be the first. That's going to be the first match on the card on the pre-show.
You like the women who are mad that Wonder Woman didn't get an Oscar nomination. Guess what, people? I love Wonder Woman, but it wasn't no damn Oscar movie. Stop it, okay?
No, you stop it.
Wait,
no, you're not going to insult me and laugh. No, you're not going to do that. No. If
you
think that Jason Jordan deserves a freaking match with Seth Rollins towards Mania or anything close to that magnitude.
I'm going to tell you why.
Oh,
because
gosh.
All you guys do is complain about they don't build young talent. I didn't say he would beat Seth Rollins. I think if he's somebody that the company is highly invested in, all the legends of the business seem to like him. He talks well. We know he wrestles well. That's a good spot to get the young guy over. Even if they keep the title in a tag team match and they break it up at Mania, I don't know, but I think whatever it is, him and Rollins are set together at Mania. Book it how you want to. But whatever it is, it's going to be him and Seth. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Amy Richard on the Twitter, checking in. You thought one of them was great. Should he get an Oscar or not? Don't answer that question. Who wins his tag team title?
What? Wonder Woman getting the Oscar? Ain't no superhero movie ever getting the Oscar. That's not who they give Oscars for. They should do this. They already know action movies is its own genre. Why don't we just have an Oscar for best action movie? That way, good superhero movies like Wonder Woman can actually get a rub. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's all I'm super saying. Anyway.
You got me hyped. You got me hyped now. I got to say, I've been holding this back for a year. Logan was a good movie. It was not the best superhero movie of all time, and you people need to stop saying it was.
A lot of people say
y'all need to save that energy for Black Panther. That's what y'all need to do.
Oh, brother.
Oh, no. We already know Black Panther's going to be good. Black Panther's going to be fantastic.
My ticket's already paid for. Exactly. What are you talking about? That thing was paid for weeks ago. We helped break the bank. And all Black people, hear me out. Do not bootleg that movie.
Oh, God.
Who's going to? We got to get out of here.
Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins are going to win the match because they want to keep that slow burn going between him and Seth Rollins. Losing is going to bring it out too fast. They want a slow burn and probably bring it out in Elimination Chamber.
And just to go back.
Think about
King Von Jr. tapped in. No, you know, everybody knows I'm a fan of Collider movies. And Collider movies had their top 25 superhero movies of all time. And they ranked Logan number 3. And I'm watching the list that goes down. I'm just like, wow. Number 1 was The Dark Knight. Number 2 was Logan. And I remember saying, Logan was not better than Winter Soldier. I'm sorry. It was. I just think that people was like, oh, we finally got to see a Wolverine movie where he was killing people, and that's all they wanted to see. I thought the storyline had plot holes. And sorry, if you didn't see it, spoiler alert, non-spoiler alert, I don't care. You should have saw the movie by now. The fact that him and Professor X both died killed it all for me. Okay? You killed him and Professor X. That just killed it for me. All right, so now, Royal Rumble, Women's Royal Rumble, because nothing else mattered. I don't even think they're going to have a – we're probably going to have a SmackDown. So, let's go to the
men's Royal Rumble first, guys, okay? Because these odds are crazy, right? So right now, Shinsuke Nakamura is even. Roman Reigns is the second favorite at 5-2. Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler are both tied at third at 9-2 odds, followed by Finn Balor 7-1, Braun Strowman, John Cena 7-1. Corbin's in here in the top 10. And Randy Orton, whose wife was pissed that Randy Orton wasn't on Raw yesterday, to get it. And here goes some crazy odds. Right? They got some of the craziest people. Jake the Snake is 100-1 odds to win the Royal Rumble. Really? Jack Gallagher.
What the hell?
Come on, Vegas. Come on, Vegas. Roderick Strong, 50-1. Ethan Carter, the third, is on this list, who I think shows up at the Royal Rumble. So put it right there, guys. Who wins the Royal Rumble 2018 men's event? Starting with you, Mr. M.I.E. Richmond.
M.I.E. What? Anyway. You know what, Mike? You've been talking about this. You've been talking about this the last few weeks. And I had my Arsenio Hall face on when it came to this theory. But you know what, Mike? I want to go with you on it. I think there's going to be something to it. Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble. I think there's something to what you are saying. Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble. They set up that storyline with Shane, where Shane screws him out that Royal Rumble number one contendership so they can give it to Roman Reigns. That's how Roman Reigns gets Brock Lesnar. And he gets, and it sets up Shane versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania because Shane somehow screws Daniel Bryan out of that opportunity because he's general manager. He shouldn't have done it. Yeah, I like it.
Here go the Swiss cheese I had with that theory. One, how would they cross it over to Raw? Two, Daniel Bryan, if he does wrestle, which I think he does wrestle, ain't wrestling Shane McMahon. That ain't safe. So go to you next. Talk. Who wins the men's Royal Rumble match?
Yeah, man, some crazy odds. Like you said, the Bryan and Ziggler one was really what got me. And I want to laugh at these, but these betting pools, and never bet, by the way, never bet.
That's just freaking
anyway.
Bogus. This is freaking nuts. That's nuts.
Right,
dude.
Right. I wanna laugh at these, but these betting pools before have been proven to be historically accurate, and a lot of times people that are betting on this are like actual people. yeah. These are people that know like what's gonna happen. So when I saw the Bryan Ziggler thing, I'm like, I'm kind of nervous because what you said earlier, because they're in Philly, and the last time they did a Rumble in Philly, it didn't go that well. So
right.
Because of that, I could see WWE just doing something crazy for damage control. I guess I'll be conservative and I'll give the safe answer and I'll just predict Nakamura to win just because it's safe.
Okay, everybody wants Nakamura to have the AJ match at Mania, and we all know that'd be a great wrestling match, but how would they tell the story when Nakamura can't talk? Dice Man, who wins the men's Royal Rumble?
Randy Orton.
Seriously, he won it last year.
Who cares?
Even talk.
Damn,
even
that's
dude,
right.
Even
he did.
Said, what?
Damn, that's right. All right, so I mean,
he's gonna say what?
I said,
what the hell
I
is
said
that?
That was a surprise too, didn't I? God damn, I said that was a
you
surprise.
Did. You did. Well, you had no conviction in the world for that one. Go ahead, man.
I was thinking about what Randy Orton said to AJ, I think it was like last week or the week before last, when they had like a backstage segment, and what he said to him about, they're partners tonight, but, in the Rumble,
yeah,
when he wins it, they're not going to be partners. He doesn't care who has the belt. It sounded really convincing. Randy's never been the greatest talker, but, I just felt like that
he's
was something that was really
though.
Convincing.
I've always thought he was convincing,
yeah,
whether he was a good talker or not. I like Orton. He's not, going to be an all-time great, but I think Orton's vastly underrated, personally. That's just me.
In this modern era, he's not going to be an all-time great?
No. When I mean all-time great, I mean when 10 years from now, we go, who's your top favorite wrestlers? I don't think no one puts him in a top 10. If you put him in a top 25, it'd be because of his accolades. That's all I'm saying. Like, he's no one's favorite guy.
He's mine. I'm dead serious.
I know you like Orton. But you also said that my Eagles had no chance against the Minnesota Vikings defense. I'm sorry, wrong
if
show.
You say, I didn't say no chance.
I didn't say no chance. Stop it. We're not going to talk about that.
And hell, that's what you got.
If you said 10 years from now, Orton's not going to be in that conversation, I think at that point, 10 years from now, you have to break it down into you know, like, okay, who was the top, who was the Mount Rushmore of the 80s or the 90s and
right.
then the 2000s? Then, like, you know, so in the 2000s
well,
era, it had to be Cena,
we both don't like
Orton,
the guy,
Edge, and then you could throw
really
somebody else in
said,
there.
You should have multiple GOATs. Remember, we don't like the guy. I'm not going to mention his name. But he said something I thought was like, wow, okay, that makes sense. I think you should have GOATs for different eras and different, different decades. So if you look at the 2010 on, I think he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of the WWE anyway, for that matter.
I would have to give it him, Edge, and Cena. And you could throw somebody else
Ed,
in there.
Cena,
but those three.
And insert whoever the hell you want to insert at that point.
Those
Edge,
three
those
ran
Edge
from at least 05 to like 2012.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was very consistent. Like he's that guy that you don't appreciate until you realize he's been pretty consistent. He's been very consistent. When you need him someone to step in. To take care of a championship. We need someone to step in and take care of the championship for a little bit.
I disagree with Orton being consistent.
Yeah, right. You knew exactly when he mailed it in, and you knew when he didn't.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why
Orton's not like viewed as a great. Because there's some times where he's just in total autopilot. Like in 2012, 2013, for whatever reason, during that period, he was an autopilot. But, like, in 2010, 2011, he was, like, one of the best dudes there.
Hey,
and, like,
hey,
you know.
He's like Randy Moss. He does, he plays what he wants to, you know. You know?
Exactly.
Go ahead. Come on, we got to go on with the show. Who wins the – give me a winner there, Dice Man.
I'm going to go with Nakamura. I don't want
Nakamura,
to, but logically that's what
Daniel
I'm going
Bryan.
With.
Chaw, who you got?
She already said it, Shank Trick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hugo. I thought it was you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Hugo. How the hell did they have CM Punk at 50-1 and Hogan, Mayweather,
yeah.
Shaq, and Vin Diesel at 100-1? That's crazy. Vin Diesel, come on.
Yeah.
That was
Kalisto.
Definitely making a day.
They got Kalisto 150-1.
Jeez.
James Ellsworth's gonna win the Women's Royal Rumble. Go ahead.
At 100-1. Yeah, man, you know what? I'll be honest with you. This Royal Rumble, especially, doesn't feel as star-powered as it was, like, for example, in past Royal Rumbles. And it's just because, like, for example, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman, they're all in title matches. But they could make surprise entrance, right? I mean, Roman Reigns did it when he lost the title at Royal Rumble a few years ago. Man, you know what? I'm going to go with... I guess it'll be a SmackDown guy. I'm going to go with Tove. I'm going to take the safe bet, and I'm going to go with Shinsuke Nakamura as well. I'm going to take that.
So we're all in agreement that a SmackDown guy is going to win, not a Raw guy.
I said that for Elimination Chamber.
Because of Elimination Chamber. Yeah.
Okay.
I was here for weeks. That's what happened. King Von Jr., to me, nailed it. No argument for me whatsoever. 2000 Mount Rushmore WWE goes Cena, Edge, Randy Orton, and Batista. I find no fault in that. At all for that. My Royal Rumble winner will be Daniel Bryan. I'm sorry. I got to take
Batista out of that and put Jericho in. I'm sorry.
Batista had a way better 2000s than Jericho.
What are you guys talking about? Early 2000s?
Well, I'm talking about.
Now, are we talking about world championships or like
we're
total as a whole?
We're talking about from 2000, well, shoot, we started all saying 2010 and up, and then now we went to 2000. So now you got me thinking about the Jericho aspect of things. So now we revisit that another show.
Well,
all right.
Let's break it down from when they first won their championships. What's that, 04, 05, 05 for Orton and Batista? So if you break it down from 05 to then, let's give it 7 years.
That's such a tough one. Because I'm being honest with you, because as much as, to me, one of my favorite role moments was Jericho. I was a huge Jericho-holic fan from WCW. I don't know what everybody else was, and you may not love them then. Even my wife said, well, baby, I liked them with the ponytails and everything. I did. I loved Chris Jericho.
I love it.
But
the list of 1,000 moves. I loved it.
But there was this one time on SmackDown, and Batista
I was there live. It was Batista, Hogan, and Triple H was in the ring. And it was not Hogan, not Triple H, it was Batista and Hogan. And he was with Hogan posing. And I'm a child of the 80s. Hogan was my guy growing up. You know what I mean? I did it. I had the blue weights and all that stuff. And he started posing with Hogan. And I was like, from that moment on, I was hooked on Batista. I was like, this dude is better than me. Went to the spotlight now. So for me, and of course, you're going to say in ring, we're going to give it to Jericho. And, you know, but I think Batista's been in bigger matches because he was the company's guy. And I think Jericho being Jericho, just being the company's guy from a different standpoint, you know, that guy they can count on, I've got to give the edge, and you're putting me on the spot. I'm going to give the edge to Batista. But I won't at all have any quarrels at all if you say Jericho. I couldn't argue it at all. You know, I think you insert one, take out the other. There you go.
Right.
But for me, I would
say
Batista. Yeah, I would do the preference. Thank you. I would say Batista, do the preference. Good word. Oh, my crew. Let go my crew if you want to. All right, moving on. Women's Royal Rumble, guys. Asuka is the favorite, 11-8. Number two, my odds-on favorite, who I've called before any outlet has called it, Ronda Rousey, 17-10. Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Nikki Bella will piss people off. Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair. How was Charlotte Flair in this? Does she have a match on Sunday where she can lose her title?
I don't understand that. They don't.
Like,
I don't understand that.
No,
the champions don't have a match.
Right. So
that's going to be a big complaint. That's going to be a big complaint.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a complaint. But they're on this Vegas list. Crazy on the Vegas list. Some crazy odds. They got Tori Wilson, which we all would like to see her. Peyton Royce. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of her work. Nikki Cross, Golden. Amber Moon. I think it's Golden, but I don't see them winning. Malia Marunos. Come on, Vegas. Give me a break. Ruby Riott. Give me a break. Michelle McCool. Yeah, she's going to be in it, but she's not winning it. Stacey Keibler. She wasn't there last night. I don't see her coming to the Royal Rumble, although I would love to see her. And then Bayley. They say Stephanie McMahon. Vince won a Royal Rumble. That would piss Philly off. So I don't think
she would do some selfish shit like that. She would do
I can't help you guys. I can't help you guys with the odds here. So because of the Paige thing, you know, she's not in the Rumble. As of right now, unless they do some more announcements tonight, there's only 18 people confirmed, and the 18 girls in the match are basically if you combine all the girls on Raw and SmackDown, which leaves a lot of slots open. There's going to be some NXTs.
I called 10 people we don't know and two from NXT. I said that there's no way they're having this Royal Rumble without Trish and Lita, okay?
Right.
There's no way they're having this Royal Rumble without both the Bella Twins, so that's four. Okay, if Lita can wrestle, take her out, that streak, we don't know how her health is, right? That's fair to say, okay? So we got those three for sure, insert Lita makes four, right? You're going to get Beth Phoenix, that's five.
Beth Phoenix, yep.
You're going to get Michelle McCool, that's six. You're going to probably, you know what I'm saying? You could, I think if you don't get, I'm one of the fans who say if you don't get Ronda Rousey, I would boo through my TV. If I don't get Ronda Rousey, I will personally be pissed off. Because I think bringing Ronda Rousey in this is big and bringing in Ken Shamrock. I'm sorry. Ronda Rousey needs to be in WWE.
I think the winner is someone that we don't know about.
I think it's Ronda Rousey. But if we got
we'll get a Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville standoff, probably. We'll get a Ronda Rousey and Sasha or Bayley standoff as well. That's just what I'm predicting. I think the crowd will go nuts over those situations.
I don't think Ronda Rousey wins. I think Asuka wins the Royal Rumble. I think she wins it, and then she because I think Ronda Rousey is set up to. I think she's going to be in the Rumble, and I think that Charlotte stops her from winning, and that sets up her and Charlotte at WrestleMania. Because I think
and the former angle that they want anyway.
If you put Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey on the marquee, that's just as big as Alpha Omega to me. From the standpoint of entertainment, because
you know what,
every major news outlet in the world on top of Ronda Rousey versus Ric Flair's daughter that sells WrestleMania right there. Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair.
I agree, but the only thing with the WWE mindset is that they always think of SmackDown. Yeah, but SmackDown they view it as a lower show than Raw. I don't think they'll put Ronda Rousey on Tuesday nights compared to Monday nights, though.
That's true.
That's my
only problem.
But they didn't want Oscar's undefeated streak to go that fast. Because the only person who's going to be – when you got Asuka dominating the way she is, because she's going to beat Nia Jax in a one-on-one match. Yeah, Nia Jax has made her look strong and stronger than she was in NXT. But when Asuka gets all the ball rolling and she beats Nia Jax, the only other person who can possibly come to terms with beating her will be a Ronda Rousey type of person.
I'm going
to – in my opinion, be booked similar to Brock Lesnar.
I agree with you, but I'm gonna stand with Knox here. I think Charlotte versus I think really what's happening is that they're gonna have to choose. Are they gonna do Ronda versus Charlotte or Ronda versus Asuka? As a fan, As a fan, that's what I want to see. But also as a fan, I think Charlotte versus Ronda will make more money versus Ronda.
That's
right.
Let me insert this.
No, there's nothing with that because. I think there is something to give Asuka versus Ronda because here's the thing. You can say Ronda got beat up in UFC all you want to, right? But when it comes to that grappling game, nobody wants to touch Ronda Rousey. None of them. That's why they all beat her ass with their hands and feet because they knew if she grabbed them, it was over. And guess what wrestling is, guys? It's a grappling thing, right? So, but I don't think – I think wrestling fans would be completely pissed if an outsider like Ronda Rousey came in and beat Asuka. So I'm thinking they're taking the money. Here's my thing about the SmackDown portion of things is I don't think you can – because it's Ronda Rousey, you don't have to necessarily, quote-unquote, put her on SmackDown. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they would do that, but – this time of year, it's going to be a lot of cross-promoting. So, from there, give me a winner, Dice, so we can get out of here.
I'm going with Nia Jax.
Right, I knew that was coming. Who you got in this one, Hugo?
What'd you say, Mike?
Who you got in this one?
I got – I'm going to go with you, man. I'm going to go with Ronda Rousey. She's coming in. She has to come in.
No, I said Ronda.
I said Oscar wins the Royal Rumble. I'll still go with Ronda Rousey. There's got to be, she's got to be introduced in a big way, the best way to do it.
Yeah. I think she's there, but I don't think she wins it. Who you got in this one there? Micah, and get us up out of here.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way all y'all do when it comes to Oscar. Oscar's going to stay undefeated and she's going to win that Rumble.
See, the only thing, Mike, now, the only thing that I, uh-huh. the only thing with the Women's Royal Rumble is that Asuka could still look strong, even if she gets eliminated, because at the end of the day, it's
a
Rumble. It's not like she's getting pinned
or
submitted.
She doesn't get pinned. Yeah, she's still undefeated. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. It's not a match. She didn't lose. They you know what I mean? She ran after her and she ducked. Royal Rumbles can happen that way, and I personally wouldn't be mad. So, with that being said, guys, I got to be honest with you. I got to go to the bathroom. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. Hey, y'all. Here he goes in the Super Bowl, bitches. We out of here, y'all.
Peace.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.
This is New York firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.